A few seconds for everybody to come in and have a seat. Welcome online. Thank you for watching. We just have a few announcements before we get into worship. So next Sunday is Harvest Fest. This is an annual event we do every year. We just have kids come here and do trick-or-treating instead of going out on the streets. So just an awesome opportunity to love on our community, to love on our church kids. So if you know of kids, bring them here. It's from 4 to 7. This is also an opportunity for you to sow your time or donate candy. You know, we're looking for a lot of candy. We want to bless them abundantly. So if you want to bring in candy, that would be awesome. And then if you want to set up a table and have a theme, the theme this year is around the world. So you just pick a place around the world and you set up a table or you do a room and kids come and just get candy from you. So if you're interested in any of that, you can see Pastor Aaron after service. Secondly, we have a winter clothing drive. Every year in the winter, we give out clothing items, sweatshirts, hats, gloves, scarves, boots. So this year we're doing something called Give a Bag, Get a Bag. So if you bring in a bag of winter clothing, you'll get a free His Tabernacle reusable grocery bag, which is pretty cool. So you can just bring it in on a Sunday morning or throughout the week and you'll get one of these. Lastly, Thursday nights are going to be family night, which means you have an opportunity to bring your entire family. We have something for all of the family members of every age. We have His Kids classes. We have Uproar Youth Service. We have Rock Solid Faith, which is going to be moving from Tuesday nights to Thursday nights at 7 p.m. We have adult Bible study, women's group, all of the things. So just come on out, bring your family, and welcome Pastor Rhonda.
Good morning. Pastor Spencer is in New Jersey this morning. He is ordaining one of our pastors at our church there in New Jersey. So he would love to be with you all, but God is using him there, and we are honored that he gets to do that. I stayed back here because we had women's encounter this past weekend, which was phenomenal. I think it was like our 15th women's encounter that we've done. It's just such a phenomenal time. If you've never done women's encounter, I would encourage you to sign up. It is absolutely life-changing. And in that, I have special friends with me today from one of the churches I minister to in Georgia. They've come to me, and I've gotten to enjoy them this weekend. Pastor Shalyn and Kim from Victory Tabernacle in Jessup, Georgia. So thank you so much for joining today. I also have awesome, exciting news. Pastor Phil has been released from jail. Thank you, Jesus. It's not over. The battle has just begun, but at least he is not in jail. So he is out, and we are we have a new lawyer that's going to work for us, hopefully this week. So yeah, that's kind of a good thing, right? Yeah. So God is good. He is awesome. I do want to take a minute and talk about Halloween. I do not, nor does the church, participate or promote Halloween. We do not promote anything that participates with glorifying the devil, demons, evil, fear, anything like that. And I know, like, we do Harvest Festival, so it might be confusing to some, and I just want to communicate and acknowledge this is not Halloween that we are participating in. But I will say, in that, I also refuse to be the Christian that cowers back in my house because this is the devil's day. I'm not giving any day over to the devil. What on earth? I'm not giving anything over to the devil. No, we've reclaimed this day, and that's why I'm the one that does this. If anybody has issue, come to me. I'm the one that set in place Harvest Festival. The day. I'm not going to do it on any other day. It's not like it's an alternative that I'm saying. No, I'm taking ground. I refuse to allow the enemy to be celebrated in a day where we're going to take over that day, and we're going to celebrate Jesus. We're going to celebrate the family unit. We're going to celebrate community. We're going to celebrate love. So we've reclaimed that day, that exact day for Jesus. I'm not going to give it over. I refuse to give it over and to teach our children to just give over ground because that's the day the devil's claimed for him. No, absolutely not. And listen, if you're one that stays home, this is the greatest mission time you will ever get. They are coming to your door and they are knocking on your door. We have tracks, which some of you might not know what those are. It's a little piece of paper. We have tracks for you out at the Welcome Center that say God loves you, and it talks the salvation message. Listen, give every single person that comes to your door a track, not a little Tootsie Roll in a track. Come on, if you're going to give out God loves you, you better be giving out something good. Go get full-size candy bars, whatever you got to do. Isaiah said in first service, king-size candy bars. No, like if you're going to give out God loves you, let's demonstrate that on top of the piece of paper that you give them. So listen, take this day back. Don't cower. Listen, I know all the stuff that's going around Facebook. Christians shouldn't be celebrating Halloween. I'm not celebrating Halloween. I'm not celebrating the devil. But don't tell me I can't celebrate my God while they are celebrating theirs. Man, if every Christian and every church got together, there'd be more celebration for Jesus going up. Anyways, let's take that day away. Stop it. Stop hiding in your house. Come on. Let's light it up. All right. So anyways, that's my rant about Halloween. So no, we do not celebrate Halloween. And I need you to be clear on that because some of you have muddied the lines of Harvest Festival. You've muddied the lines and have started participating with Halloweenish type evil and fear and all of that dark stuff. Now, make sure your line is clear. We do not celebrate and glorify evil and darkness at all. We do not celebrate Halloween, but we are not giving over anything to the devil. Nothing. So we stand. Amen. All right, let's stand to our feet and we're going to pray. And we're going to open service this morning. Wow, first service. Oh my goodness. Woo. Jesus is in this place. Where two or more are gathered, there he is in the midst. So he's already here. He is in this place. So we just lift you up, Father. We love you so much, Jesus. We love your presence. We expect it to change everything. We expect your presence to do a great turnaround, to bring breakthrough, to bring restoration, to bring freedom this morning, Jesus. We expect that everything's going to change as we're in your presence, because you are the all-powerful, almighty, and there is nothing too hard, nothing too difficult, nothing that's been there too long that you can't turn around in one moment. So God, we decree and declare turnaround, breakthrough, freedom, restoration right now in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
Step back and forth like this. We just want to wake up a little bit. Come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. Y'all know how to do this. It's just moving your feet. It's just moving your feet. Tell your neighbor, I'm going to need a little bit of room for this praise service, okay? Come on and sing this with me.
Lord, we lift you up. We lift you up for all the world to see.
Lower, 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 lower
sing that.
Lower, 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 lower. Stop singing.
Come on and shout
lower.
Supernatural.
Super, 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 supernatural power. Super, 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 supernatural power.
Sing, Lord, we lift you, Lord.
We lift you. Tell me who.
with me. Come on.
You know what I love about praise is this is literally where the Lord inhabits according to scripture. So many times, like, oh, I just want to get to worship. Let me get to worship. I want to get past just the jump and the emotion. It's not emotion. Actually, you know what? There's nothing wrong with emotion. It is emotion towards God. I'm excited for what Jesus did in my life. I look around the room. I'm excited about what Jesus has done in your lives. And the emotion causes a response, which is called praise. And God inhabits the praise of his people. Like, well, I'm not sure if I feel, you know, this is the crazy part. Habakkuk 2 says that the earth would be full of the knowledge of the awareness of his glory. A lot of people will say the earth will be full of his glory. No. The earth is full of his glory, but the earth would be full of the awareness of his glory is the key as believers. Is how do we find and how are we aware of the glory of God? It's when we get our mind off our problems, when we get our mind off whatever's going on, and we turn our focus to Jesus. And that's what praise lets us do, because now we're looking at what he's done. We'll look at what he's done for our family members. what he's done to the people that we know, what he's done for us, and it causes a response. You know, you think about a response of praise, everything shifts. Man, I remember 2004 Prime Red Sox, that Big Poppy Grand Slam. Everybody I know went wild if you love the Red Sox. I'm like, bro, it didn't even affect me. Security, we got some. They brought some garbage into this place. We need to get it out. But this is the difference. We get crazy over something that doesn't really even have any value other than entertainment. You got people jumping off cars right now up in Buffalo onto a plastic table. Why? Because they're excited about a team that just brings entertainment. And it's cool. You know, it's fun to do that stuff. But I start to think what Jesus has done. I start to think about the people I know that were healed, the people that were set free of bondage, addiction. I start to think about financial situations where it was only God. I start to think about marriages. And it causes something more than just... They did their three songs. They should be done by now. If you want three songs, you can find another church. Because we're going to do what Jesus wants us to do. We're going to have fun. We're not going to be rigid on some weird stuff. There's other places that do that. Like, well, you guys are weird. That's fine. We'll be weird. But you know what I realize? Three songs, going through motions, it's not reaching anybody. But yeah, right. No, look, there's 83,000 people in our county. And we might have 830. You know, we got to reach people. And part of it starts with us getting out of our box in church and letting Jesus be the center of his church. You know, today, I don't even really feel to go to a worship set. I want to get excited about what Jesus has done in my life, what Jesus has done in your life. Man, like, look at Kayla. She had some crazy stuff happening with, like, it was like a celiac issue. Just come up and tell us real quick.
All right, so quick snapshot. When I had my first baby, my thyroid levels dropped like really super, super low to the point where when they finally figured out what was wrong, they were like, you need to get in a doctor's room like right now. I don't even know how you're walking. So I've been on that medication for 10 years, believing in the fact that God can heal, but not going after it myself, that healing was mine. And then at the beginning of this year, I started having some crazy reactions to food, like really bad. Like I had a rash from like my chin all the way down to my knees that it would itch and bleed terribly. I couldn't eat food without getting really sick. So we found out it was celiac disease. I went and got a blood test. It came back positive. So I was super angry because at the beginning of the year, I was like, no, this is the year. I put it on my faith wall. I'm going after healing. I'm going after what Jesus said was mine. I'm not going to wait for it anymore. And so I started believing for my thyroid to be healed in the beginning of the year, and then the celiac thing came. And I was like, no, nope, this isn't mine. And so I stopped eating gluten for a while. But I just kept listening to the word and changing my thought process that this was mine, that God already paid for it. And nobody else was going to get my healing. It was just sitting there waiting for me. So I just pressed in. And I remember at the women's conference, the Lord asked me to take my heels off. I was super cute. And he asked me to take my heels off and to praise him. And I was like, Jesus, no one's praising like that. And he goes, oh. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I praised for so long and so hard, I was dripping in sweat at this cute ladies' conference. I was dripping in sweat. I had so many other things happening. I prayed so hard I couldn't walk the next day because I jumped for so long. I ended up getting prayed for, but I had already received it, but I ran around the building, and I don't do that. And literally the power of God hit me so hard So then I came up on a Sunday morning, and I always would get in the healing anointing. And so I was like, God, this is the time it's going to happen. I'm going to go up and I'm going to get healed. And I was praising him, and no one came up and prayed for me. But as I was, my eyes were closed, I saw Jesus was walking. I saw this like vision, and he was walking, and he turned and he looked at me deep in my eyes, and he walked towards me and put his hand out, and he showed me the nail scars in his hands, and he let me touch it. And then he said, these scars were to cover you. These, you're covered. And I literally was like crying with no tears. My nose was running. And he said, you know, the vision went away. And he said, everything that's wrong in your body is disintegrating right now. I went home and I was like, thank you, Jesus. I went home and I ate literally the biggest bowl of macaroni and cheese. Like multiple times. I would normally itch within probably a half hour. I would start to itch terribly and rashes would come out. Nothing happened. I ate like that for 2 full weeks. I went back and got a blood test and it was gone. Completely gone. My thyroid levels, they said I would never be off medication ever, that it would just continue to get worse and they'd have to take it out. And now I'm just on vitamins.
I think that's a reason to praise in the room. Craig, can you come here real quick? Craig, come here. Nicole, come here real quick. Either one of you, you pick. Flip a coin. And then Misha, come here too. Will you give us the 90-second version of your miracle baby?
Okay, so I was told that I would never have children without medication. First two babies, medication. Third baby tried the medication and it didn't work. So Pastor in Rock Solid Faith told us we needed to ask for something big that we could not accomplish on our own and put a date on it. So I did, and I asked for a baby. By the end of 2009, and there he is. He was born December 28th, 2009. And at 5 months pregnant, I went to the doctor and they did an ultrasound, and I had a 10 centimeter tumor with the baby in my uterus. And I came to church, and Pastor said, if you have back problems or something else, come on up. And I didn't have what he called out, but I said, I am going after this healing. So he prayed over me and told me to go get a good report. And when we went back to the doctor the following week, the tumor was gone.
Jamisha, will you tell us about Jesus not letting you die when you gave birth?
I don't think I've ever shared this testimony. So I was about 18 going on 19, and I gave birth to my son. Everything was fine, and they took him to go get checked out and everything, and all of a sudden my face was just like really white. My mom was like, are you okay? I was like, no, I think I'm gonna pass out, like I don't know what's going on. And then I end up dying right there. But come to find out, we had a new nurse. She didn't really know what she was doing, and he ripped me on the inside, and they didn't see it. So every time my heart would pump, like blood was coming out. So I had blood clots in me, didn't even know they're pushing blood like out of me. I'm like gone at this point, and all I remember, it was like being in this dark room. I'm like, God, I don't even really know you like this, but all I want to do is raise my kid. And then I came back, and my mom was like, are you okay? I was like, no. I kept feeling myself dying, and I'd come back and I would die, and I would come back, and I'm like, oh my, like, I don't want to die. Like, I want to live. And I came back, and then I ended up getting saved. A year after that, my best friend, Mackenzie, she came after me. And ever since then, I've been running after Jesus, and my son's perfectly healthy. I'm perfectly healthy, and yeah.
I'm just not done with it. Josh, go ahead.
I'm going to try to make this quick, but this is a this is doozy. So a few years ago, I was pursuing God harder than I had ever done before, but I was also still dabbling with alcohol and living a life of sin. But the enemy knew how close I was getting. And so I was out of town for work. I went out to a bar, wanted to have a few drinks before bed. And this was at like 10 o'clock. Well, I woke up at 6:30 in the morning getting picked up off of the ground in handcuffs. And don't remember any events from that night. And so I'm sitting in jail wondering, what the heck, why am I here? And they told me all the things that I had done, and I was like, that's not me. Like, this is insane. You have the wrong guy. Well, they had video footage of me. They found my cell phone where it shouldn't have been, and all. They had an eyewitness. So I was like, none of this makes any sense. Well, I was looking at 7 felonies and 2 misdemeanors, looking at up to 25 years in prison for something I had no control over. Come to find out, I was drugged at the bar, didn't even know it. But when we came home, like, we just put it all on God. And like, there's no way you would bring me this far to take me away from my family. I have 2 little babies, a 6-year-old and a 5-year-old, and a wonderful wife. I'm like, you would not split this up. So we started declaring, like, we're going to see victory over this, and there's nothing that's going to change my mind. And my lawyer was like scared. I could tell he was scared. The DA kept throwing deals at us, and he wanted me to take the deals. And I was just like, no, this is not how it's going to be. We're going to go right into that courtroom, and we're going to fight for this. And because of COVID, things got pushed back. And we ended up with a judge who we weren't supposed to get. Yeah, well, we were supposed to get, but, and so as I'm sharing how I felt the next couple days and everything, when the judge came down with his decision and he said, not guilty on every charge, he had been drugged before in his life, so he knew exactly how I was feeling, and that's just how good God is. If you press in and lay it all on him,
I got to take, he's about to preach. He's a good looking man, but I don't know about roofing him. Carla, come here real quick. Jenny, come here real quick. If she's in the room, Jenny stands for you. Getting called to the principal's office. Come here.
So I was a garden variety drunk, and the Lord delivered me. He took me out from, he picked me up out of the miry clay and set me on the rock. It's been 23 years since I had a drink, and honestly, it keeps getting better and better and better and better and better and better and better.
And she's an amazing minister of the gospel who loves people. Amen. Jenny had a miracle baby. Well, Andy had a miracle baby. Jenny got to play a part, so tell him.
I mean, I would say I carried the baby, so Andy played a part. Where do you want me to start?
That Andy had a baby.
Oh, okay. So after my husband and I got married, we were going to wait a year. That's what we told the pastors. And I was like, well, I'm not getting any younger. Let's have a baby. So, and he actually has a twin brother, and they're identical twins. And his family was like, yeah, he's not able to have kids, so you're not having kids, actually. Because, you know, if you're identical twins, you, like, have the same life. And, sorry, I'm a little winded. And we were like, no, actually, that's not true. That's not what the word says. We're having children. I have a name picked out. I have a stocking made. I'm having this baby. I don't care. I made a stocking. My grandmother, she crochets them by hand. So everybody in our family, like, if you don't have this stocking, you are not part of this family, okay? And I was waiting and I'm waiting and I waited for kids for a long time. And I'm only 26 years old, but I wanted a kid. You know, I grew up really fast, like, as a child. So I wanted my first kid by the time I was 20. And I was ready for a baby by the time I was 15. So, you know, by the time I got married, I had been waiting a long time, and it felt like I was never going to have kids. So I didn't know if my grandmother was going to be around. So, like, one year at Thanksgiving, I was like, hey, can you make my kid's stocking in case you're not here when I have kids? apparently that's offensive. I wasn't trying to be. I was, you know, trying to be prepared. She was like, what? So, anyway, back to the main story. So I had the stocking made with her name picked out. It was ready. So his family was like, no, like, really? Like, you should go to the doctor. You should get checked out. And we were like, no, that's a medical bill. No thanks. the Bible says that we're fine. So we, you know, we're doing the deed. And it didn't take long, y'all. It didn't take long, okay? a month into our marriage, we were pregnant. And yeah. So,
I'm going to take this away before she says anything crazy.
He
fasted for 2 weeks. And then the Lord blessed him. Why? Because when I think about Jesus, it gives me a reason to dance, gives me a reason to jump. Man, it gives me a reason to praise when I think about what Jesus has done. I don't want ordinary, I want Jesus. We're going to go a little different direction with this. If you're in the room and you need a testimony, which means you're going through something right now, I want you to meet me right here in the front. I have Pastor Ron to pray for. If you're sick and you need healing in your body, meet me over here. Pastor Ron is going to pray for you. Pastor Andrew will pray for you. If you're in the room saying, "But I got it all mixed up and I just need some freedom in this area," will you meet me over on this side? We'll have Minister Carla, Pastor Noel. You want to go down and lay hands on some people? If you're sick, meet us over on this side. Here's how. I don't want to miss anybody. So will you just lift your hands until you've been prayed for? Just lift your hands until you've been prayed for. If you need prayer, lift them until you've been prayed for. And that'll help us not miss anybody. And then what we're going to do, the rest of us in the room, we're going to go crazy and praise. Why? Because I got a reason to praise. There's a reason. His name is Jesus, and he's done some powerful things. You ready? Let's have fun with it.
My praise is a weapon.
Come on. Come on, get right into that. God got a testimony for you today.
My praise is a weapon.
My praise is a weapon.
Come on and declare it.
My praise is a weapon.
Come on and declare that. Thank you, Jesus. Start to thank Jesus in the room.
My jump is a weapon.
My jump is a weapon.
See, my jump
Jesus and what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus and how he set me free, I could dance, 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 dance all night. When I think about Jesus and what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus and how he set me free, I could dance, 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 I could dance all night.
Bible says it like this: where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. You know what the church needs? A fresh prescription of praise. We need more freedom. We need more victory. We need more breakthrough. We need the presence of God. That's what we need. Not just in the building, but at home. Not just at home, but in our work. Not just in our work, but in our car. We need the presence of God. Amen. You guys just stretch your hands towards the front as they pray for Bridget. Just agree. It's not weird. We're just agreeing. It's just a, I'm agreeing. That's all it is. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody in this room love Jesus? Here's what we're going to do. We're not going to, I'm not going to have you go back to your seat, but I do want to, I feel like I need to speak on something for a minute. And then we can get crazy. And here's what I want you to do too. If you're in the room, you say, I got prayed for and I had breakthrough right now. Like you had breakthrough, you had a healing, something shifted right now. I'm going to ask you to like make sure, not like, well, I still got faith that, no, like if you had breakthrough right now, I'm going to ask you to come up in a minute, but hold up. What I wanted to speak on, I'm going to truncate it very shortly because I think this is a message we need to hear. Some people, even in this room, you didn't engage with what God was doing because you put yourself on the bench because of what you've been doing. And this is the issue that I see largely in the church, is that we run around with this issue of shame and guilt and condemnation. Say, well, what I was doing yesterday and what I was doing then and what all this stuff, and we discount what the Lord wants to do in our life, or we discount how the Lord wants to move on our behalf. Because we think we're not good enough, because we think that we've stepped too far away from what God is doing. But if you look in Luke chapter 15, you find the story of the prodigal son. And how many of us see our relationship to Christ is that once we've messed up, once we've gone too far, once we've abandoned ship, once we know we've hurt God, we think that God would want to bring a pain train, he'd ignore us, he'd punish us, or he'd want nothing to do with us. But there's a difference in how God's nature is and man's nature is. And this is the difference. God's nature is always redemptive. Man's nature is self-preservation. Jesus doesn't care about self-preservation. That's why he went to the cross for us. Therefore, when we decide, I know I've messed up, I know I've gone too far, but I'm going to go back to my Father's house. See, a lot of people think they got to go back to their father's house and earn their way back to being a son or a daughter. Or they got to earn their way back by time. But when the prodigal son came back, The Father saw him coming, and he didn't turn his back. The Father saw him coming and didn't say, oh, I know how I'm going to make him earn this back. I got a long list of things he got to do. No, no, no. When the prodigal father saw his son coming back, the Bible tells us that he pulled up his dress and ran to meet his son on the way. Not only did he meet him where he was, Scripture says it like this, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. One step towards God and he's coming at you like a freight train. He's not turning his back. He runs to meet his son. And when he meets his son, he does four things that are very important. Number one, he gives him a ring, which means he gave his power back. He gave his authority back. He wasn't coming as a servant. He was coming as a son. Number two, he gave him a fresh robe, which is a representative of righteousness. He came and turned in his dirt, and he got righteousness. He didn't have to work through his dirt. He had to give it to his father, and his father replaced what was wrong. Number three, he gave him some fresh shoes. And then number four, he looked at his servants, and he said, hey, don't get them bread. Go get the fattest cow we got, and we're having a barbecue. We're throwing a party. And this is the position of the Father, even today. If you are someone who's walked away, if you are someone who said, well, I could never get back. I could never go back. God wouldn't love me. God wouldn't accept me. You don't know how far I've gone. You don't know what people in this room have done. You don't know what people... Paul was trying to kill Christians. This is the difference. When our heart is, I'm going to Jesus, he meets us right where we're at. He restores us right where we're at. He puts us right back together right when we make the decision that I'm going to draw near to God. And I see so many people, they won't participate with things like this because like, oh, that's good for the Christians. But you don't know what I've done. You don't know what Jesus has done then clearly. Because he closed the gap. He stepped in the middle. He took shame, he took guilt, he took condemnation, and he declared them that they're not of him. I want to let you know, if there's shame in your heart, don't run from Christ, run to Christ. If there's guilt in your heart, don't run from the Father, run to the Father. He can already see it, and he plans on restoring it, not bringing you punishment. If you have condemnation in your heart, please know that's from the devil, and Jesus wants to set you back where you belong, as a son or a daughter of himself. This is the difference. Too many people count themselves out, but God is calling them in. And this is what the presence of God does. Ready? The presence of God exposes us. You might be in this room and you're feeling all sorts of your sin. And oh, I can't go up front. I can't go out. That's not what Jesus exposes sin for. He exposes sin so that he can make things right. Not so that he can make you feel wrong. He shows us what's wrong so we can reconcile what's out of place. If you're in this room and you feel the Holy Spirit tugging on a place in your heart, if there's sin in your life, Jesus is not exposing the sin to tear you down. He's exposing the sin to show you what's separating you and him, because he loves you. Today, if you're in this room and you feel the Holy Spirit putting his fingerprint, putting his hand on that place in your heart, it's not a, oh, I'll go home and I'll figure out how to live better. That's not how the Bible's laid out. That's not how this kingdom operates. What it is completely different. If you feel that, what we ought to do is to make the statement to the Lord, I'm surrendering this to you. And then I know that we will figure this out. It's not clean yourself up and get to God. It's get to God and he cleans you up. This is the difference, and this is what Jesus wants to do in your life. If you're in this room and you're saying, I got something I need Jesus to clean up, will you wave your hand at me even right now? I got something Jesus needs to clean up. Amen, amen, amen. This is what I love about the presence of God. And this is not a condemning thing. This is an uplifting thing. Is as the body gets holy, we go higher. As we get more holy, we go higher. Let's do this. If you're not a believer in Jesus and you say, right now, I know that I need to believe on Jesus. I know I need a Savior. I feel that in my heart. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe you've just walked away and you've been living a life of hell. It's time to get right with God. Will you wave your hand at me saying, I need to get right with God? If you're in the room, say, I need to get right with God. I've been living in sin, and it's time to get this sin behind me. With your hand raised, will you make it right over here to Mindy? She's standing on the steps right underneath the tank. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. With your hand up, come on, even right now, make your way over there. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. We want to pray with you. We want to give you a Bible. Go ahead, come on. If you're in the room and you're saying, you know what, I know there's some sin in my life and I need to get clean. I'm a Christian, but I've been playing. I'm a Christian, but I've been messing around a little bit. It's easy. 1 John 1:9 says it like this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us. It's as easy as this. It's a confession unto God. It's like David in Psalm chapter 51. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit inside of me. It's an easy decision of repentance unto God. I want to encourage you, as we sing again in just a minute, to make that commitment to Jesus in your heart. Now, before we get back into praise for a minute, if you're in the room and something changed in your life and you say, I got healed or I got set free, I felt a clear difference, will you wave your hand at me? Awesome. Amen. Will you come here real quick? Come here real quick. Come here. Just meet Alan right here. Alan, throw your hand up. Meet Alan right here. We probably won't have time for everybody, but I definitely want to celebrate what Jesus did in somebody. Amen. I know yours. You can come on. Come on up, bro. Awesome. You want to share with everybody what Jesus just did for you?
I've been dealing with a torn muscle in my upper shoulder and my left arm, and I'm feeling great right now.
Amen. 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 Come here. I got you. I got your hand, girl. There you go. I'll hold it. I'll hold it for you.
Okay. I just had hip surgery a little bit ago, and I've been in pain for months, and I don't know what happened, but your mom laid me out. And I'm still shaking. I've had asthma since I was 6 months old, and I've been on inhalers and everything for years, and I haven't been able to breathe this deep in I don't know how long.
Come on.
I'm ready to throw them inhalers away. He's still working in me because I'm just so jittery, and I got the smile I just can't get rid of.
How's your hip?
I just walked up from the other side with no pain.
Come on! Let me help you down.
I got this. I was diagnosed with full-blown emphysema in 2012. I couldn't quit smoking. I smoked for 37 years.
Wow.
I gave it to God. I laid my cigarettes on the altar and I walked away. I ain't craved a cigarette since. I went back to the doctor 5 years later. I have the lungs of a non-smoker.
Amen. Amen.
You want to come right up here, dear?
What you said up there, I know my lashes are falling off.
That's how you know the presence of God was here. Her lashes messed up. She got contour coming down.
What you said up there about condemnation and guilt and shame? Lord, he set me free. He set me free. Oh, my God, he set me free.
Oh. Amen. Can we give God some praise in this room? Can we give God a shout in this room? Oh, okay, come here, come here, come here, come here. What was going on? What happened? What's going on now?
So, I tried I feel the best. Like,
amen. Amen.
Amen. And just like, I don't know why I did all this. Like, it feels the best to be like alive. I'm so grateful for everybody. And like, we're good. Amen.
Amen. We give God some praise in this room. Wow, praise God. I feel like we owe him a little more praise. Yeah? Y'all want to do that? You good with that? I mean, it can be boring church or it can be exciting, you know? It doesn't have to be church as normal. I don't want church as normal. Let's praise him. Come on. Come on.
When I call your name, something happens. 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 When I call something, something happens.
When I call your name,
something happens. When I call your
name,
something happens. When I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. And mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Something happens when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Mountains move when I call your name. Something happens.
Is our giving. I'm not going to teach you on giving today. I teach you every single week. Part of our praise and our breakthrough is in our giving. So today, actually, I think I'm going to mess everybody up and make security mad at me. No, I'm going to actually have you bring it forward because I don't want you to bring it backwards. I want you to bring it forward because we're changing forward. So we're going to have the baskets in the front. As you leave, you can come and give. It's not going to... No, we're not leaving yet. Hold on. As you leave, you can come and give as a part of your praise. And when you leave today, listen, I have a commission for you. Testify. Testify of what God did in church today. Call your friends. Call your family. Call your mama. Call your grandpa. Call your grandma. Call somebody. Tell somebody. Testify. Tell your family when you get home over the dinner table instead of eating everybody else up. Testify of what God's goodness has been, of what God has done in you today. Testify. They overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. And that's kind of where God just took this whole thing today from the beginning. It's just testifying, testifying. So we want to leave in the same way that God has initiated that, and that is testifying. So we're going to need a shout and praise testifying song to leave in. And don't rush out. Don't run out. That's not what I'm saying. Man, praise your way. If you didn't get what you came for, don't you leave until you got what you came for. So listen, we're not switching to tracks. We're not seeing how quickly we can end this service. Okay, guys? I don't want tracks switched on. Don't leave until you got what you came for. Come and touch the hem of his garment. Whatever it is. Man, if you've got shame, come and leave it at the altar. And leave different than you came into this place. And testify. We're going to have the baskets up here for your giving, your tithes and offerings. And we know when we give, we're moving our money out of this natural realm. And we're putting it in the supernatural realm. So make sure you don't leave without taking care of your finances and praising God with your finances. But let's just shout and praise right now. The way we started this is the way we're going out. Testifying. God bless you. I love you so much. Have an awesome, awesome breakthrough week.
When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, how he set me free. I could dance, 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 dance all night. When I think about Jesus, what he's done for me. Jesus, I could shout, I could shout, 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 shout all night. And when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, I could dance, I could dance, 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 dance all night. And when I think about Jesus, Jesus, I could clap, I could clap, 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 clap all night. And when I think about Jesus, what he's done for me, when I think about Jesus, I could shout, I could shout, 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 shout. think about Jesus, what he's done for me. When I think about Jesus, I could wave, I could wave. Praise all night. And Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Oh, Spirit.
Thank you. okay. I could be really selfish and make the worship team do this for us all day long. But you have the ability and the responsibility now for you to take this with you. So take this with you. So I'm shifting the responsibility off of them. And it's now on you to take this with you. God has had such a special encounter with us today. Don't ever be the same again. Take this with you.